Okay, we have one of the most famous sugyas, the Ruchas Tefillin, that we have to try to see if we can finish up today. And that's the issue of everything we've been talking about in terms of the word os, which is ultimately the keveya, why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Does that word os carry over the Chol HaMoed or not? That's the multi-million-dollar question. So the answer to that question is really twofold. First of all, we have to define exactly what is it about Shabbos and Yom Tov that makes Shabbos and Yom Tov an os? What characteristic, what special quality of Shabbos and Yom Tov makes it an os? And we have to figure out, does that carry over to Chol HaMoed or not? And even if we identify what that characteristic is, it still may not be so simple to determine whether that magical quality does apply to Chol HaMoed. We're not quite sure what the quality, what the characteristic is. And even if we identify the characteristic, we're not quite sure whether it applies to Chol HaMoed. So we really have our work cut out for us today. So Tosfos already starts the ball rolling. Tosfos in the Rosh already begin to start the ball rolling by discussing the first question. Namely, what is special about Shabbos and Yom Tov? So if I'm going to ask you, your initial halachic reaction to that question. What is special about Shabbos and Yom Tov? What's the oath in Shabbos and Yom Tov? So you probably wouldn't say the Cholent. You probably wouldn't say the Tish. What would you say? What is the most demarcation about Shabbos and Yom Tov so radically than the rest of the week?
Issimol.
It seems like a no-brainer. Issimol. So I'll say that that's correct, which may or may not be true. I'll say that's correct. That's the Issimol. So then, is it appropriate to carry over in Issimolacha from Shabbos and Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed, thereby concluding that Chol HaMoed doesn't wear tefillin? So we've identified the characteristics of being Issimolacha, but now we're not sure, well, is there an Issimolacha Chol HaMoed or not? So the answer to that question is a very, very confusing one, because there is an entire Masechta called Masechta Sbarakotim, which deals with a whole array of different things you're not allowed to do at Chol HaMoed. But there is an internal problem in the Chol HaMoed. There's a very, very basic, fundamental, almost like an internal contradiction of the Chol HaMoed. That yes, you're not allowed to do malacha, but there are so many kinds of malacha that you're allowed to do that we kind of scratch our heads and say, well, is there this malacha? Is not this malacha? Now, Shabbos is an outright, absolute ism malacha. Everything that qualifies as malacha is out of it. Short of Pekuch Nefesh, Shabbos can do a malacha. Yom Tov is 99%. The same, Ein Bein Shabbos the Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a little bit of a quirk, a little bit of a Pesach called Eichel Nefesh. Now again, Eichel Nefesh, even in and of itself, is not absolute. There are certain activities that are Eichel Nefesh and actually are still also, maybe even in the Torah. But there is at least a Pesach, a category called Eichel Nefesh. And it's true, we all know that once we've identified a certain malach as being permissible because of Eichel Nefesh, we may even take it to the next level. What's the next level, everyone else? What still is the extension of Eichel Nefesh? That you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov things that are not actual food. Again, that's because we've identified the malacha of carrying as being primarily an Eichel Nefesh kind of malacha. So we can kind of, we can kind of swallow that one also. It's also included in Eichel Nefesh. But things that are not Eichel Nefesh are out right also in the Torah on Yom Tov. So Shabbos is obviously an ois awesome malacha. And Yom Tov is pretty much a yom that's also malach as well. Chol HaMoed, we get a whole different picture. Because Chol HaMoed, yes, we all know, of course you get to work in Chol HaMoed. Everybody knows that this is malach Chol HaMoed, yeah, right? On the other hand, give me some examples, some categories you can do malach and Chol HaMoed.
Drive your car.
You can drive your car in Chol HaMoed. But let's get a category. I don't even have a category for that one. That's just driving your car. Why is it mutter to drive your car in Chol HaMoed? What's the name of that category? It's called the Maise Hedyot with Tzorech Hayot. So a Maise Hedyot is just driving a car. Everyone knows how to drive a car. You should have a license to drive a car. Every time they get out, you can figure out how to drive a car. So you drive a car, and I'm going, I want to drive to shul, I want to drive to the store, I want to drive on a trip, I want to enjoy a Chol HaMoed, take go to the amusement park. So that's called the Maase Hedyot Tzorech HaMoed. That's a mission. That's okay. That's permissible. Give me some other categories that are permissible in Chol HaMoed.
For the Simcha, isn't it like something for Simcha?
Yes, that's Tzorech HaYom. It means it's Maase Hedyot Tzorech HaYom. The first mission of Sechah is Ma'akot. The person's afraid that all of a sudden his crops are not growing properly and it's not enough rain and he has to irrigate the field. So that's not the Tzorech HaYom. Lechora, I'm not going to eat those crops on Yom Tov. So lechora, that's not called Tzorech HaYom. I say lechora. So that's what the Rav, the Rishon says is mutter. Okay, the Rav is mutter also. Everyone knows any other categories of things that are mutter. Tzorech HaRabim are mutter. You're allowed to do certain things for the Tzorech HaRabim, even though they may not necessarily be outright Tzorech HaYom. Those are also mutter.
The crop thing maybe is also Tzorech HaYom.
Oh, you have to mitzvah. You know the mitzvah, but come, right? Okay, you have to mitzvah. Okay, good. So we have a few different categories of chazav matir. So now we're analyzing this, and we're learning the first 19 blad or so of my kodan, and we're trying to figure out is chol moed a day that's also the law. Chol moed the law. We're getting different vibes from chazal. Basically, it's also. On the other hand, there are so many exceptions to the rule. It's hard to know what the rule is anymore. So it's this. Almost discrepancy in Mitzvah Chomayim that led to a major machlekes of Rishonim, which is going to impact on our sugya. So again, we're going to be Kvasatayis. We think that we've identified the characteristic of Shabbos and Yom Tov that creates a din of ois, that's a Peter or maybe an oiser of Tefillin is Malacha. And we're asking the second half of the second half of the Shiur, does Chol HaMoed meet the marker at? Is there really an Issa Malacha of Chol HaMoed or not? So came along Rabbeinu Tam and said, the questions are just too powerful. There are too many yitzim in HaKlal. When there are too many exceptions to the rule, it forces us to almost like re-evaluate the rules. Zok Yom Yom, there really is no Issa Malacha Chol HaMoed. No Issa Malacha. There's no Issa Malacha Chol HaMoed. Says the Pasuk, Kom Lech Sabem L'Sasso, the first day, the seventh day, doesn't say anything Chol HaMoed. There never was, never will be an Issa Malacha Chol HaMoed in HaTorah. We find that there are kama kama things in Allah do Chol HaMoed. Those are all what? Every last one is the Rabban. Says Rabbeinu Tam, midaraisa, you don't have such a model that Tzorech HaYom is okay, not Tzorech HaYom is also. Don't you have to put the Nadar? All those make believe distinctions, Ataka Kishmam Kedon, they make believe. They're made up, make believe by who? Made up by? The Chacham. By the Chacham, you can have. Hey, mom, so this, they asked for this, they didn't ask for that. They wanted you to stay, not spend your whole day working. They don't want you to lose money. So Chazal can make these very strange distinctions. Midaraisa, the world is black and white. Midaraisa, there's no gray. Either it's also it's mutter. Either it's misabloch or it's so for the fact that it's so gray, if Rabbi Tam is correct that the whole Nisr B'Lachah Chalamayit is only in Havana, how is that going to impact on Ochos Tefillin? So now I come to Shul in the morning, I want to know, Rabbi, do I put in my Tefillin this morning? So the Rabbi says to me, well, is it a Yom Os? Is today an Os or not? What's the answer? Who do you have to ask? Yes, the Rabbi, I don't ask the Rabbi's Tefillin, if it's in their eyes, I gotta ask who? Gotta ask the Rabbi. Who's the Rabbi? Moshe Benu. Gotta ask Moshe Benu. Moshe Benu, is today Yom Os or not? So I come to Moshe Rabbeinu and I pull out the book called Hilchos Chol HaMoed that says, you're not allowed to do this, not allowed to do that, not allowed to do this, and you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says? I'm not familiar with this book. I never heard of this book. It doesn't exist. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Kshayatam Neresa Yadecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me that Shabbos and Yom Tov, that I understand. Chol HaMoed, I never heard of this book. There's no such thing. No such animal called this book and Chol HaMoed. It doesn't mean that there's no such thing as Chol HaMoed in the Torah. What have we been at? You think Rabbeinu Tam thought that Chol HaMoed doesn't exist in the Torah? That's ridiculous, because Chol HaMoed exists in the Torah. Vis-a-vis what?
Mitzvah Saseh,
vis-a-vis Simchas Yom Tov, vis-a-vis being Karbonos, vis-a-vis Karbon Musaf, Da'at Musaf. Of course there's a concept of Kedushas HaYom, and there are Isaac Chol HaMoed. Of course there is something unique, something special about Chol HaMoed in the Torah. There's a Pesukim HaChumash. Shibas Yom HaShonah. The Torah says, Shibbos Yom HaTzecheilu, Shibbos Yom HaZom HaZom HaTeichem. Of course there's a concept of the 7 days being Kaddish Midrash. Of course there's a Dinim that a Neg Ben HaTorah during Chol HaMoed. What Rabbi Tam meant to say is, there's no Issa Malacha. And since there's no Issa Malacha, therefore by definition, there can't be a Ptur Tefillin, because Tefillin is Bevei from the Din Malacha, that is Gufo Etz Kebe'ois. This is Shibbos Rabbi Tam.
Maybe
we're going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
So you
need another cup.
I think it's just dirt. I don't think it's there. If it is,
you're eating out.
Not so bad. It's not so bad.
Sure.
Okay. Maybe this will be. I'm not sure what you're doing.
It's my bad.
Well,
thank you very much. Okay.
Oh, Shlosh is younger. Okay. Wish him happy birthday. Yeah.
Our whole assumption is that the definition of an oath is the
Yisra'el. Tosha started out that way, right? Didn't Tosha say that? Tosha says, what we should assume is Yisra'el. Tosha starts off by saying, by thinking that way. But naturally, there's something Shaira will say before Shaira. So this is the law, that's the Kibbeh, yeah? So again, we're making two premises for what we just said now. Premise number one is that the Ois is defined by Yisra'el Malacha. And premise number two is that there's no Yisra'el Malacha in the Raya. So both of those things are true, then you have to explain the problem.
Where else?
That you put on tefillin as an os, but not in the day when there is an os. So okay. Other, it's not a steerer that there are multiple oises in the Torah.
Then the other oises are.
I mean, you want to argue that just as the other oses are kubase, so it makes sense that the oses are.
It also makes sense because maybe about what an os is.
Right, so I'm doing something, I'm making a symbol of my own. Maybe you're it. So again, I just want to make sure everyone understands with Chavs that if we accept these two premises, that Osef defined the Yisra'el Malacha and defined Yisra'el Malacha as not a flood color thing. Thank you. And Yisra'el Malacha doesn't apply to Chol HaMoed, then you're in business, then you have to wait for the Chol HaMoed. Who was the Bapluk to Rabbeinu Tam in this one? Who was the Rishon? I don't know if you know, because it wasn't one of them. Who was the Rishon who held that? Yeah, of course, Yisra'el Malacha and Chol HaMoed is the Raisa. It was the Rashbam, his own brother. His own older brother. Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam learned together. I always say, like, you know, they argue about a lot of things, Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, just like my kids, and my two boys at the Shabbos Bureau, when they were 8 years old, that's what they fought about also. Now, the Yitzvah L'Chalma, Nishvah L'Chalma, Yitzvah L'Chalma, Yitzvah L'Chalma. Okay. So, comes Rashbam in Maseches Pesachim, the end of Maseches Pesachim, and has a comment in the Gemara that leads us to believe that his opinion is that Malachas Chalma is deraisa. Rashbam has the following comment, and the Gemara in Pesachim says that if a person is mevaza samayadus, he treats the mawadim yom tovim very lightly, very disrespectfully. Kilu oved avodah zara. How do you know that? Because it says in Parshas Kisisa, Elohim asechol osas alach eschag amatzas tishmot. So the Gemara learns after the speeches of pesukim, mevaza samayadus kilu oved avodah zara. What's the problem with that kind of chiddush? You would just read this Gemara. What would bother you about that kind of chiddush? But nothing more has the statement of kilu. What's it really saying? What is ki'ilu, kid?
Not actually.
In other words, the Gemara usually uses ki'ilu to describe something that you really shouldn't be doing. And very often, it's really not as bad. Because I was saying that, be careful about it, because it has smacks a little bit of this yisur. It's not real, not mamish yisur. Say l'moshlo. A person should be mevazamach. What mevazamach this means, he wouldn't say it's chav skila. Is that mamish? Kevin of Yisra. Say l'moshlo. The Gemara says kala kaya skila Kevin of Yisra. So if your friend gets angry, you have to throw up the wine that he touched because it's good. It's chav skila. Unlike it, right? Because the Gemara says anyone who comes about guy is skila Kevin of Yisra. So when you hear a guy, you know, show him off a little bit. So sorry, take the wine, throw it down. Come on. That's not what it means. So there's a little bit of a problem. When the Gemara says, Mevaza Samayadas, Ogid of Rizara, what do you think Mevaza Samayadas would mean? Give me an example of Mevaza Samayadas. I would think a guy does Malacha. A guy does Malacha and Yantiv. That's pretty bad, right? Oh, so it comes to Rishabam and says, it can't be referring to Yantiv Mamish. Why?
And Saki.
There's a lot of the time. You came out this to Malach and Yodav. What do I need a kilo for? Kilo's the things that, and don't get angry. Don't be on about Gaiba. It doesn't say we should be fair, we should not be on about Gaiba. There's one day we share the counts, you know about Gaiba, it's one of the law of the Torah. The Tishkan is a Shem location. When you become about Gaiba, you forget in Hashem. But most of Hashem don't say that. So, yeah, it's bad to be about Gaiba. Yeah, it's bad to be Kayes. But Chazal needed the kilo to give a little bit of teeth. And you teach to tell me that I can't do Malach and Yodav. And what's wrong with Kamalach Zavid Masasim? What's wrong with Michai Malchus? Anyone not like it? So the Rashbam says, but Chazal say, Kamalach Zavid Masasim, That must be talking about something that I wouldn't have figured out on my own. So what's the Mu'adis over there? Mu'adis are not Yom Tif. They must be Chalamoyed. So Chazal are quoting a pasuk to teach me that not to take Chalamoyed disrespectfully. Quoting a pasuk for that? What does that sound like? Maybe it's really the Deraisa. The Rishbam seemed to understand that it's Mamash didn't do the Deraisa. Unlike his younger brother. So if the Rishbam was convinced that doing the Loch and Chalamoyed is Deraisa, that's not going to help as much to get it to Tefillin. That's going to tell us, that's not going to be Machayev of Tefillin. If you hold them, Alon's Chalamoyed is Deraisa, and even if you think that Oysi means Malacha, well, guess what? There isn't a Simalacha. Therefore, we ask Moshe Rabbeinu. No, we ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Do I put on tefillin? What's the answer? No, it's a nice. So now everything is hinging again. This is all assuming that the Issa Malacha is the Kevel. We're far from convinced that that's true, but that's where our starting point was for the first edition. So Issa Malacha, everything hinges on Issa Malacha. Whether or not you were told, ultimately depends on if you think this malacha is deraisa, then you know which one. If it's derabanan, then you do. But what was Rabbi Natan's raya? What was his raya brura that it's all derabanan? From all the while? Not in the pasuk that says, but all that teirim, the existence of that teirim seems to be the raya that's not deraisa. How would the Rashbam respond to that? How could you have a cake and eat? How could you have a malacha deraisa and then have a 15,000 different teirim? How could you do that? So how could it be that there's a din in a Torah and not the Malach? And yet, every 5 seconds I find another head to perform. We all know the end of everything's end of being a perform. Whether it's really a faithful. So what's Pia? So come a group of Rishayim and say, Chinuch has this, others have the same here. You have to understand Malach Chalamoyed and their Aisa. We have to introduce a new concept in Halacha. We usually think of the world, we think of Halacha as black and white, even something's their Aisa, something's their Rabbanan. Their Aisa means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu could have told it to Moshe Rabbeinu multiple ways. Either he told it to Moshe Rabbeinu to write it in the Sefer Torah. It's mamash toish b'chsav, like you say, don't eat chabas and pesach. That's mamash toish b'chsav. Or a Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes told us things explicitly toish about that. Sometimes it's a little bit of a combination of the two. But the other mashal malecha Shabbos. So would you call that toish b'chsav or toish about that? It's a little bit of both. Things it says in the words in the chumash l'sasak of malacha. On the other hand, it's not clear what malacha means. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu malacha zebishkan tera malacha. That's the whole nine yards. It's fine. So when it comes to Malacha Shabbos, I'm not allowed to write on Shabbos. That act of writing on Shabbos is a blatant, flagrant violation of what the Tzvah Hashem. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, L'sasik Malacha. The Kodesh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'shtei Malacha. Malacha means Malacha HaMishkan. And we know that the days of the Mishkan, they had a writing for whatever reason. We figured that out. If they had to remember back in the days of Betzal, they were writing. Gotta write in the question, etc., match up the boards, whatever the writing was. So when a person picks up a pen and talks to Tay Alf, make me hear, and writes his name on Shabbos, he is in gross flagrant violation of the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a din deraisa. A person moves muktzah, moves the pen on Shabbos, and writes with the pen, he is not in violation of the Baruch Hashem, he's in violation of the din derabbanan. Now again, how didn't the Rabbanu relate to being their Isis? Does that mean that you also, by extension, violate or sauce or dovish and gilchay be the small? So that's a loaded machlokes Rabbanu and Rabban again. Not for now. Another time, another place. What didn't the Rabbanu are? What does that mean on the level of their Isis? But everyone agrees that Lamais are not allowed to violate didn't the Rabbanu either. We're just not quite sure where we place it into the picture of their Isis. But then, every once in a while, there's the third category, somewhere in the middle. Everyone knows what the third category is called? You're probably going to tell me to do the Kabbalah, so you're wrong. That's right for another answer, but who's going to tell me what the third category is? It's not outright there, Isa, yet it's not there above me then. Somewhere in the middle.
Halacha Moshe Sinai?
So, Halacha Moshe Sinai is on their Isis, Tabir Kabbalah or Machloikis, do we say because it appears in Nach, therefore it's elevated to be a deraisa? That's a different story. Not talking about me. I'm talking about a third category called Lo Mesorah Kosov
El
Lechachom. What in the world does that mean? Lo Mesorah Kosov El Lechachom. Very strange. It has two words in there that are almost contradictory. Hakosov, which is Chomish. Lechachomim, which sounds like Derabon. What does that mean? So Mesorah Kosov Lechachomim means as follows. That every once in a while, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. But the parameters of that mitzvah in the Torah are very vague. They were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nishpach sav nishpach peh. Yishmael Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu there's a certain halacha, and Yishmael Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Chachamim to go be kaveda. They should establish what the parameters of that halacha are. Once they establish those parameters, that becomes the kavanas haTorah. That's what Yishmael Baruch Hu wants from us. That it's not halacha Moshe Mishina. That's not nishpach peh. That's not Losaskeblach is not Mesorah Kosov Chacham. Not that Kosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu, you guys figure out what the world Shabbos is. No. Kosh Baruch told us what Shabbos is. So comes the Sefer Chinuch and writes, that's what Chol Moed is. What does it say in the Chumash about doing Melacha Chol Moed? One thing is clear, it's not the same as Yontif, because it says, Bayom HaRisha Mikra Kodesh, Kamalach Zeran Losasu, implying that the 6 days in the middle, 5 days in the middle, are not really Kabbalah Sivan L'Sasu. On the other hand, they are called Mikrei Kodesh. Because the Torah says in Pashat, Ein L'Mikrei Kodesh Etubosam Mo'adam, and then the Torah goes and speaks about the 7 days of Pesach, and the 7 days of Sukkot. So, on the one hand, the Torah is saying, there is no Issur Melacha per se on that. On the other hand, they're called Mikra Kodesh. What does that mean to be a Mikra Kodesh? What's fake Mikra Kodesh? Mikra Kodesh means that on a level of the Araisa, Chol Hamoed has to be different. It has to be distinct from the rest of the week, the rest of the year. If Chol Hamoed looks like any other day, there's a bit of a Mikra Kodesh. How do you do that? How do you accomplish that Chol Hamoed is a Mikra Kodesh? So Kodesh is usually associated with Malacha. So Chazal wants them a force to create a model that Chol Hamoed has to look different vis-a-vis Malach than the rest of the year. But it's not Kamalach Zeran L'Sasu by any stretch of imagination. It's not Yontif. Yontif, the Yisra Malach and Yontif was given Ishma Pisha and Meshur Avenu. It's identical to Shabbos, a state condition, Megillah, Ein Din Shabbos, and then all the Nefesh Bova. If it falls on the Echol Nefesh, then that's the Yitzim and the Klav. But short of that, it's not much identical to Shabbos. No, not the Saskil, it's a Salav, okay? But the Yisra Malach is identical to Chol Shabbos. Chol Hamoed b'chlal was not that. Chol Hamoed was given to us by Kadosh Baruch to Moshe Rabbeinu that Chol Hamoed has to be Mikra Kodesh. How is that going to manifest itself? That's your guys to figure it out. Sit around, based on a goal, and figure out what that means. You create a model that makes Yontif different from the rest of the year. Make a model that makes sense, that works for you. Once Chazal fine-tuned that model, so then that model becomes the Torah's kavana of Mikra Kodesh. And if a person violates that, then they're in violation, not of Kamalach Zeran L'Sasu, they're in violation of Dittel from Mikra Kodesh. So, what guidelines did Chazal use? So, we already look and see, you can already tell what Chazal was trying to balance. They didn't want to make Chol Hamoed identical to Yom Tov itself, that's not really right, because the Torah doesn't call it Kamalach Zeran L'Sasu. On the other hand, obviously the Torah wanted to be different. So different to an extent. So whatever is going to enhance the celebration of Yom Tov, whatever is going to add to make Chol Hamoed special and unique, we're going to let you do. And therefore, going back to our first example, we're going to let you get in your car and drive to Shul on Chol Hamoed. You know why? Because that's good. That enhances Chol Hamoed. It's only a nice headed anyway, so it's not like I'm super fresh on the job. And there's a tzarech to it. It's going to enhance, hey, let me get to Shul on time. Or at least not as late. I don't need to run anyway, so I got a few extra minutes till I know it's late. So driving to Shul Chol Hamoed makes sense in the model of Mikra Kodesh. It doesn't detract from Mikra Kodesh. It's okay, it enhances Mikra Kodesh. Kohen and Kohen. Why were they not there Dover Ovid, who called the Gidvah before without knowing it? Which they agreed wrong. Because that's going to also enhance Chol Hamoed. If I'm sitting in his Sukkah on Chol Hamoed, and he gets word that his all his crops are going to die. He's got $100,000 of crops that are going to go up in smoke unless he waters them and irrigates them. If we're going to tell him, no, sorry, you can't irrigate your crops, that's going to ruin his yard. He's going to be miserable, accordingly. If we tell him, no problem, just get some guy to irrigate your crops and then continue your celebration, go to your Titian, go to your Rebbe, go to your Shalabas, have a good time, so he'll be very happy. So doing the lessons, never know if he's going to enhance his Simcha Sayyid. However, from Sam to Malacha, just not my school, it's just like that. Or even my Zahed, Shalom, it's like a Yerim Klaal. So that's not appropriate. That'll tap a shter, it's not a kindish. So at the end of the day, there isn't a Simcha Malacha in a Torah. It's just it's defined radically different than the Issa Malacha of Yom Tov proper. And that's what the Rashbam ultimately holds in contrast to his younger brother. Benitam didn't see it. Benitam said it can't be. Benitam said the world is black and white. Either Yemalacha Malacha, Yom Tov Malacha, did this mishkababble, the chore of Issa Malacha, but some yes, some no, doesn't exist in the Torah. The Rashbam would say, yeah, it does. As I said, for Chin of course it does. It does, based on the model of the Masar Chosro Chacham. So Rabbi said, after the film story, according to Rashbam and Sefer Chinuch, at the end of the day, if Issa Malacha is the oath, could there be an Issa Malacha in Chol Moed? What's the answer? Absolutely. There's an oath. There's an oath. It's not the same oath as Yom Tov is. Well, guess what? Yom Tov is not the same oath as what? The Shabbos is. Those are quantitative differences. So you get a few more things here and there that are also on Shabbos, then Yom Tov, and Chol Moed, but it's all there. As long as it meets the mark from the past to the test of being a deraisa, as long as it's deraisa, that's enough to create this in the world.
The whole thing was that you had an os already, putting on another os would be designed for the first os. Maybe Chol Moed is on a level, even though it technically is an os, maybe it's not a big enough os that the
I don't know, it would be very hard for us to measure osos. I would say, my gut feeling would be that if it's deraisa, that's a very good reason to exempt you from it. Well, that's what I would guess. That would be my guess. So, boys, say, what happened?
How does
Rabbeinu Tam say that Mavaza? So Rabbeinu Tam, Ora would say that Mavaza doesn't even refer to Malach. The Gemara doesn't say Chalai Sim Malach clothing. The Gemara's talking about Yom Tov. It's talking about a guy who doesn't dress for Yom Tov clothing, a guy who eats pizza on Yom Tov instead of having an Achmiya, those kinds of things. Those are Bizyayim. The Rabbi said, that's our story. Could one almost walk a tightrope without falling off and suggest that maybe there is an Issa Malacha b'Deraisa on Chol Moed, but not all the time and not in all places, not for all people. On a level of Deraisa may exist, but the fact that we have ala kulas, all these wild kulas, that's because 99% of the time it's only the Rabban, but if it comes wrong, it could exist in the Torah. You know what I'm referring to? It's a real title. So, Mishkas Yaakov, we quoted it before, right? Mishkas Yaakov, the Talmud, Rubber from Chaim Elojano. Mishkas Yaakov suggests a fascinating insight into what is Chol Moed. What is it about Chol Moed that would warrant not doing malachim in a Torah? What characteristic does Chol Moed have? What is it? What mitzvah sayyam do we have that don't seem to fit with the doing malachim? I'm sitting in the sukkah. So why is sitting in the sukkah stupid to malachim per se? I'm sitting in the sukkah. I'm doing my work. I'm on my phone, on the computer in the sukkah. Pesach. I'm not in chometz. I'm doing a lot. What is? There's no stira per se. Which mitzvahs of Chol Moed really, really throw into question the lacha? Mitzvahs that we're not familiar with—that's the problem. Well, the kavanas. I'm supposed to come to Beis Hamikdash on Sukkot on Pesach. He's supposed to bring all the shriya, karbanas, shabbos chagiga, shabbos simcha. The model of bringing karbanas is a stira to malacha. How do I know that? There's a famous Rishalmi that Tesis calls me in the fourth parakh of Pesachim. Why is it that you're not on the Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? There's an Issa Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So Tosfos quotes in Rishali, the reason is because it's not a korban sakazer. Whenever you bring your korban, if you bring a korban on a regular Tuesday in the middle of August, you have to refrain from doing melacha. Oh, wait, hold on. Even a korban yochid. I mean, a korban yochid is nisim melacha b'derais, Rishali says. It's a special day, it's a happy day, it's a special holy day when you bring a korban. Says Mishkis Yaakov, he says, if you are actually bringing your karbanos on chumah, you don't have to on chumah. You couldn't put it on yom. You don't necessarily get to bring karbanos every day, but if and when you choose to bring your karbanos on chumah, that day is kadosh mi'isim alocha min haTorah. If you happen not to be bringing your karbanos, then it's only kadosh b'yasiyas b'alocha min derabbanan, and then all of them is chumah applies.
I haven't bring karban, you wouldn't put on tefillah. How does this apply to us?
I don't know. Maybe that's true. Nope, doesn't sound right. It sounds strange, right? So because Yaakov creates this potential, very, very, very fine line, very tight rope in terms of this malacha. That's why Mishkas Yaakov says that in our davening and Chol Moed, we make reference to the fact that Chol Moed is a mikra kodesh. Mikra kodesh is usually synonymous with malacha. We do call Chol Moed mikra kodesh only when? When do we say Chol Moed is mikra kodesh? Only in Musaf. So Mishkas Yaakov says, because it's only in Musaf, when Musaf reminisces the Avedis Hayom, and we mention in the Musaf, we can all sing it together. Okay? So that's Mikra Kodesh. That's the Raisa. So again, we have a lot of shittas flying all over the place here. Whether Malach is Chalamot is the Raisa, the Rabbanan. The easiest pshat is Rabbi Natan to say the whole thing is Rabbanan. The Rashbam is more complicated, says the Raisa. Then you have to touch it up a little bit to say Fachinuch, and then Mishkas Yaakov on the side. But Rabbi's side, everything is all revolving around one assumption. Our entire discussion for the last 35 minutes is revolving around one assumption. What is that? That Malach is the name of the game. That's not what really matters. Yeah, you bring a korban shlomo on a Tuesday, and all things she came to malacha. So Rabbi Sai, Taisus changes the tune for us a little bit. Taisus writes, maybe we're going down the wrong path. We spent 35 minutes going down the wrong path. It was nice, we learned about Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Shbam, it wasn't from Torah. But it's the wrong sugya. This fairly happens to us in Hashem, we're learning the wrong sugya. We're focusing too much on malacha, says Taisus. What should we be focusing on? Who said mitzvah saseh, right? Who said to me before mitzvah saseh, right? Mitzvah saseh, that's an os. So says Tosfos, does Chol Moed have mitzvah saseh or not? That's what that really matters. Does Chol Moed have mitzvah saseh or not?
Yeah.
So I said a bad word.
Aseh?
I said the word aseh. Tosfos didn't really say aseh. Tosfos said what?
Mitzvah
saseh. But not like what you said. Mitzayim. So says Tais, let's chazal the chol moed for a minute. See what mitzayim apply. So Tais says on sukkahs we have mitzayim. No sukkah, great, wonderful. What mitzvah did Tais not make reference to? On chol moed, alulav. Why? Very easy. Why? So I run anyway after the first day. That would be a silly mitzvah to quote. And then Tais says, what mitzayim do we have on Pesach? What mitzayim do we have?
He says, it's for chamer.
Tais says, what?
It's
for chamer. He goes, the Pesach, the chamer, the sukkah, the chamer, the sukkah. So we're good to go. By giving that second example of Pesach, Asur, Yechidus Chametz, Tais fell into the trap of calling mitzvah sayom, not mitzvah aseh, which is undermines your theory, right? There is a Tosfos in Mekot, if I'm not mistaken, where Tosfos quotes the same tizmin, the same story, that we got it all wrong, we wasted a half hour, not literally, but whatever, spending too much time on the Ezimalachavot, we should be focusing on the mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs mean mitzvahs aseh, and there are these grandiose mitzvahs aseh. What are these grandiose mitzvahs say? Well, on Sukkot we have sukkah, and on Pesach we have
eating matzah.
Eating matzah. Yeah. Eating matzah. Wow.
Say, you know,
eating matzah. So it sounds like that Tosfos is always buying into the Shitas HaGoyim.
It's not a dude.
The famous Shitas HaGra, that there's a mitzvah kiyumis, the matzah. The Rishonim already said it, but it became known, the Gra was such a powerful force in Halacha, that it became known as the Shitas HaGra. So this Tosfos sounds a little bit, that Tosfos in Markot sounds a little bit that way, whereas the Tosfos in Menachos, then Dafka didn't go down that route. They Dafka plugged into the Isra Chametz. It could be that the Tosfos in Menachos were not so supreme, were not so happy with that, were not so convinced as the Mitzvah, even if it's a Kiyumus being Matzah. So it could be that tucked away in between the lines of these Tosfos and these multiple approaches to Tosfos, this is all out of the Malacha. Malacha, that was first Ebeshir. Now we're in the Mitzvah Sayyom, and even with the Mitzvah Sayyom, we have a little bit of a discrepancy. What is that famous Mitzvah Sayyom of Pesach? Is it Chometz, which would commit us to mean that even Isurim would ultimately be qualified as an Os? Or if you're really, really committed, you're dead set on finding a mitzvah aseh, then you got to go down that route of the goyim to say that even if it's a kiyumis is good enough. We're not 100% sure what Tosfos Shita is in Shas about that goyim. We don't know with absolute certainty. There is a Tosfos Kedushin Alfa Mechaz, anyone know?
The
Rishonim hold on. Rishonim predate the Gaon. There is a Tosfos in Kedushin on the Chesed called the Kiyas that Tosfos asked to follow a Kasha. Let's go through Shalom as the following Kasha. It says when Klai Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael the first year, the first Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, what did they not do? It says they were the current Pesach, but what did they not do? They didn't eat matzah. It says that they didn't eat matzah until when? They didn't eat matzah the following day, or 2 days, whatever exactly that day was. They didn't eat matzah, presumably, until after they offered the Korban HaOmer. Why not? Because all the matzah was straight. All the matzah was chadash. They were all brisket. All the matzah was all full of limits. It was all chadash. So they weren't allowed to eat it. So if Rishami asked the kasha, why not? Why can't you eat it? Another famous kasha in Rishami?
I say duchel.
The mitzvah berach tachlu matzah. It's bidechel. The law of eating chadosh. Famous kasha in Rishami. So many, many answers to that kasha. So Tosfos gives their own answer. This is the answer that does not appear in Rishami. Tosfos gives their own answer. Tosfos says no.
This was before... the essay was before...
Yeah, that's what the Rishami says. Tosfos
claims
Rishami
says. We do that later.
Yeah. So there are a lot of answers to this, gosh. I want to focus just on one answer. Tosfos gives their own answer. Doesn't say it was in Yerushalmi. Tosfos says that maybe the answer is in Ocherami. Maybe in the Torah, the essay of Matzah is Bechel and also say of Chodosh. But that's
but
only in the Yidua.
Until Kezias.
Only the first Kezias. Once you have a drop more than the Kezias, you're up the creek because it's no longer a mitzvah. Eating subsequently to the first Kezias would now be in Avein or Chodosh. So there were Goyes of Kezias, Rishon of Kezias, Shemit. I mean, Zinochanan, in a Torah, you really could. You really figure out exactly if eating Kezias, but Tzimtzum, so then you should really eat it. But Yeshua ben Nun was nervous. He could tell people, they can't eat more than Kezias. What about all the people who are eating 15,000 Kezias? The guy's eating 16 matzahs, way past this year. So that's the Yeshua ben Rais of Chodesh. So therefore, Yeshua ben Nun felt it was too dangerous to do that. And therefore, it was Goyzim et Rabbonon not to eat more than Kezias. Not to eat in the first time. It's an interesting Terence. No. What do you think about that Terence? If the Gra's right, finish my sentence.
And it should be said all time.
If the Gra is right, so then there's still a mitzvah to eat more than a kedayis. Right? Unless you say that for the purposes of a Seydah Chos, what do you mean?
It's
a Mechon Wasser has a Rishayim already discussed this. Rishayim. Mechon has a piece about Rishayim, Rishayim. The essay of Chalosa say, do you need a mitzvah chiyumas or do you need a mitzvah chiyumas suffices? So it's unclear from Tosfos and Kedushin why you can't eat past that first Kezias. Did Tosfos mean to say the Gra is not right? That there is no mitzvah zero, zippo after the first Kezias? Or did Tosfos mean the Goyin is right? You could have been before the Goyin. But mitzvah kumis would not be enough to be there. So it's unclear what Shita is at Tosfos. When you look at Tosfos Kedushin Alfa Mechaz, it's a little bit vague. So the answer to that question, when the world of Lalei Tosfos thing was pro Gra or anti Gra, depends on these two Tosfos that we have in our sugya. According to one Tosfos by us, it says that the best ice that Tosfos can come up with for Pesach is the Yisra Chimus Chometz. Vice Tosfos that the Gra is not right. Whereas the Tosfos in my Kalkin that was willing to fall back on the Mitzvah's Matzah and Mitzvah Kumis is good enough to be an ice, the Gra was right. So again, we're not quite sure where the Balei Tosfos sat on this question. But back to Esther. So we have a lot of space, a lot of things flying all over the place. We don't know. We want to know Lumdus. Yet to the or Nish to the right? The Shehalacha, right? Bottom line, Rabbi, tell me. Should I put to a line, should I put not put to a line? So we have so many different variables here. We don't know what the defining feature of Os was, for the Malacha not. We don't know whether Malacha Chalmon is there ice or not. I'll throw another parable into this, another thing into this mix. Maybe we're going down the wrong route, Lagamri. Maybe we are so off because we've been focusing 45 minutes on what word? Oh, maybe. Maybe what word should we be focusing on? Maybe Yom Yamim. Maybe Rabbi Yosef Lulu is right. Don't we all have a kiva? Well, do we? So the Rambam was very, very strange. He couldn't figure it out, this Rambam was. The Rambam passed him to Rabbi Yosef Lulu because he's passed his Lyle out on Tulum and Atara. And therefore, we would have expected him not to invoke the drush of Os. There was really no need for the Rambam to quote Os. He had a drush in his pocket. He had a Rabbi Yosef Lulu. And then after the Rambam falls back on Os. So we're not quite sure why the Rambam did that. And we're not sure if one agrees to that. There may be Rishon, maybe you go on and said, no, we pass him straight to Rabbi Yosef Lulu, Gemara. So we have a lot of things flying around. We don't know quite where this sugya is going to settle. We have a lot of longness. We have any ra'ayas from the Gemara. We have many Kharoim, many of Aram, but we know what they did in Kolomoid. So Taisus quotes a sugya that speaks about what? About writing Tashin and Tfil, Kolomoid. Writing Tashin, what are you writing for Kolomoid? What are you waiting to lift the Kolomoid? What's the answer? Because you don't even need a breath film to wear today. So it sounds, from the fact that there are Tanoim like Kotham who speak about the possibility of not writing Tashis on Kolomoid, Shuto Kibashma is that you're writing them to wear them. That sounds like a dead giveaway. So he says, no, it's not a giveaway. What? For who?
No. Tomorrow.
So just because you find a Tana that wore Tfilin and Chalamoid, that is not a proof positive to our halacha. Why? Because we know there are Tanoim who denied what? Not only argued Rabbi Yosef, who have been argued with? We know Rameir Rabbi Yudah. We have documented, well documented in the end of Masechta Erevin. The Rameir Rabbi Yudah held that you have to wear Tfilin Shabbos in your other also been a Torah. That's why according to them, who else has been a So Taisus said, just because you can dig up a Gemara that has certain Tanoim wearing Tfilin Shabbos, what do you do with those? The same Tanoim wearing Tfilin Shabbos in your other? So we really don't know where to go with this. We have a lot of lumdus flying around. We have Rias and Gemara going all directions. We really don't know what to do. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? So the case of Mishnah, the ninth of Amkomos has a startling halachic / historic / hashkafic observation about this topic. So Mishnah says, so the old days, because the Mishnah basically had Sfadi, as we said already several times, he was born in 1488 in Spain. So he was descendants of the Sfadi Minhagim. So Shulchan Aruch, because the Mishnah says that to the best of his knowledge, in the previous days, in the old days, in ancient Spain, said the Jews used to wear tefillin. What changed? In the days of the later Rabbonim, Matsu b'sefer azoel l'shir hashirim, shemish b'niach tefillin b'chalamoy k'mish kaitzitz b'netiyas. I cannot begin to explain to you what that means, because I don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound good. The Zohar says it's bad. It's really bad. You shouldn't have that sense. That's a bad Kabbalah phrase, kaitzitz b'netiyas. You should not be wearing tefillin b'chalamoy. You shouldn't be wearing tefillin b'chalamoy. So says the Kesavishim, "Do you remember Lanich about Oy B'Cholamid?" So they stopped wearing Tefillin B'Cholamid. So it's the Kesavishim. So it's not 100% picture that we're painting from the Kesavishim. It's not 100% true that everybody in Spain wore Tefillin until the later generations. We know Rishayim, there were Sfadish Rishayim who did not wear tefillin going back quite some time. The Rosh quotes from Sefer Itim Shel Harav Habay Tzaloni. I don't know who he was, but I can tell you what city he came from. Barcelona. Last we checked, that's the city in
Spain.
That the Oslo and Yechtzvil, which was Yom Tov. Now, strangely enough, they quote as the source for this is what? V'shamarta zachuk hazois. Sounds like those people in Barcelona and the Goyim, whatever they've been quoting, referencing, held straight what? Straight or yes, not Rambam's versions of Rambam, straight basically. And they held that the Shemarta is not Yom Yomimah, Chomon are not regular days, therefore they're not Yom Yomimah. So the Rosh doesn't think they're right. The Rosh says that they're going down the wrong path, we should forget Rabbi Yisraeli, we should talk about Rabbi Akiva. And then the Goyim says the whole thing is not true, the Rosh says the whole thing is not true. He says there are some who they didn't know what to do. They just threw their hands up. They said it's a stake in the dinner to do without a bracha. But Mevarach Lehivsid says the Rosh, you want to make a bracha, and it's also good. It's no problem. And what the Rosh, in a sense, concludes, has had become for quite some time the standard Minhag Ashkenaz. Unlike in the Sephardic communities where there was some kind of a shift. And again, I'm not saying the shift was no everybody wears and not nobody wears. It sounds like the Yesh B'Yesh in the olden days, in old Sfarad. But the Rosh is telling what he thinks the correct thing is based on the Raya's from the Gemara. That we have no real reason to exclude Chol HaMoed. The whole of Malacha is very, very shaky, and the Mitzayim is very shaky, and the Dicha, the Gemara, and the Makotla is very shaky. And therefore the Rosh says he thinks the Ikar din is your Mechuyv and Tvilim, even with the Bracha. He acknowledges there are some who have played it safe without a Bracha. So what started to happen over the years is you had now you had Mamshak, two different traditions. You had the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Rosh, the Bali Atoches, who in their hearts and souls really believe you have to wait for the Chol. Then you had the Chachmei Sfarad, who changed, primarily, again, because the Bishop said the source of the change was the Zohar. But Lamaisa, by the time the Shulchan Aruch is rolling around, so you already have both of these two different Chol. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look, it's in the Chabr, the 10th of the Maram HaKam, it's Shabbos, you're on the Asa Nech Tefillin. Right. By the way, it's a very strange Shulchan Aruch. It says Osir, unlike what he himself said in the Beis Yosef Nuchas Mokhtu, which is a very big problem, but not for now. And then it says Beis B'Chol Amoy Gam Gid Osir Nich Tfilin. And the Ramah Tzvi Yishom Shechay B'Tfilin V'Chei Nogim B'Chol Gulos Eil Anichim B'Moyed B'Forach Eleim. The Ramah writes that the Nidig in all of our communities is the Ramah talking crackle on the 1500s. All Ashkenazi communities, everyone wears tefillin, and everyone makes brachas on the tefillin. The only thing we don't do is we don't make a bracha of a kol ram. What does that mean? Or no, he's talking about.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? So in the, you have to go to Broyas to appreciate this. So but the yak is on a regular day, so the bal tefillah gets up and he says, Asher kishay, he says the bracha on tefillin out loud. So on Chol HaMoed, I guess they want to make them in fights, and some people won't make so they didn't make the bracha out loud. But l'mais, everybody makes the bracha. So you have, in the days in the 1500s, you have two totally different minhagim and klal Yisrael now. You have some who are mamish, not wearing bechlal, svarim bechlal, not wearing by the 1500s, none of the svarim are wearing anymore. And the only Ashkenaz are wearing. I wonder what happened after that.
Just a question, didn't we see in the earlier sugya that the minhagim and the Ashkenaz were supposed to follow that?
You mean the minig of Rabbi, we don't know what the minig was in terms of whether we think Chol HaMoed is also going to see the Malacha or not. We're not sure. The old minig Ashkenaz was for sure with Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. That we're pretty certain about. So they were assuming that it's the function of the Malacha and the Malacha and the Rabbanan. So it was a minig of Amran. So that's what they're most quoting. That is the old minig Ashkenaz that still existed in the 1500s. So what changed? What changed in the last 600 years?
People moved together?
Primarily what changed, probably the biggest force that changed, was exactly what changed the minig in Sfarad. You just took the Ashkenaz 500 years later.
So hard.
What? The Zohar changed everything. Why did Zohar change everything? Because in the early years of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, I mean, the Zohar is really Rishim Ha'Yechali, it's a time, okay, but the Gemara is the Gemara, you know, and if you really think the Gemara is night there in the other direction, we have a Klal and Halacha. If there's ever a machlokes in the Zohar and the Gemara, so going claims can't be, but if there is such a machlokes, so then you always follow what it says in the Gemara. So the Chachmei Ashkenaz, you know, they looked But the Gemara, the Balei Tosfos ran the Gemaras, and the Gemaras, they thought, were nice in one direction. Something changed in Klal Yisrael. What was it? Somebody said it before. Beginning of what? The Chassidim. The Chassidim, so many of the Chassidish and Hagim were rooted in the Zoya. What was one of the big changes that the Chassidim did based on Kabbalah? A huge change? They changed what? About tefillin, they changed the Nuschat Tefillah. The Nuschach of Ashkenaz was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. They were davening Nuschach Ashkenaz. But the Ari HaKadosh had a different Nuschach Tefillah, which was more in sync with the closer to the Tzfarim, closer to the Zayah. So the Chassidim changed it. Everyone knows that the Chassidim changed the Nuschach Tefillah. I'm not saying they were justified, not justified, I'm just saying the Levites, there was a change. So once the Chassidim entered into the picture and they became 90% of Eastern Europe, so then they stopped the Chassidish Rabbanim, felt that we should follow the Chacham Sfarad, we should follow the Zoya, we should follow the Shulchan Aruch against the Ramah. And slowly but surely, now the tables were turned. So the only real people who were still following the Ramah, the ones who were not so into the Zoya, they were following the old Minigatays in the Rosh, were who?
Misnagdim.
The old Misnagdim. So there were two big, sources of old Misnagdim. Who are they? Who knows what? The Litvaks, right? The Litvaks and the Tamidia Gro were one. What was the other? What are the other big ones? The Yekis, the old Germans, the old Yekis. So now, another shift happened. What was the other shift? Came the Goyim, came the Gro, and said, what? The Gro says he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch is right. He thinks that the Ramah is not right. And the Gro says he thinks that you really shouldn't be waiting for the Chum. That was enough to tip the balance. So even those few diehards were left, so they started to move over to the camp of the Shulchan Aruch. Who was left? The Yechidim left. Who's still left out of Hayam Rezeh? For the most part, the Yechidim. Plus a few other Litvaks are still the same thing. So the Rabbi says, just understand a little bit of just, how Minhag Yisrael have developed over the years. We'll close with this. What is the absolute chaytel yavam minig in Eretz Yisrael out of Hayam Rezeh? Nobody wears Tefillah Chomer. If you do, you wear it privately. Nobody walks to the shul today with Tefillah Chomer. Why? You know why? Because there were three forces that were commanded to come to Israel. Ada Yehuda. What were they? Well, the three different forces. So even before the Grove, who was in Israel all the years before the Flinesh Kedashim came? Sfarad. Who was Sfarad in Israel? So the Chacham Sfarad, who don't wear Tefillah Chomer. Who were the first early from people from Ashkenaz who came? Tamidei HaGro, and who else? The Tamidei HaBar Shabda, the early Chassidim. Most of the time, the three of those groups do not see eye to eye necessarily. But every once in a blue moon, they do. And when they do, then you know for certain what's going to happen. That is going to be the minute Eretz Yisrael Chayk V'Le'ah. And that's exactly what happened in the last 200 years. When the Tamidei HaGro came, and the Tamidei HaBar Shemtov came, and the Sfarim were there, and none of them were wearing tefillin, that's what happened. So the bottom line is nobody wears tefillin so today, at least in Palestine, because of that kind of elaboration of the groups together. Hopefully, Hashem Kumar, I might just finish a little bit about tefillin. We didn't finish yet. A little bit more about tefillin. We're going to drop that tefillin in Rosh Chodesh, and then hopefully we'll go on to the next one. Thank you.